If you have your Bibles, we're going to pick back up in the book of Galatians where we left off in chapter 5, and this will not be just a small verse we've got this evening, but it'll probably take me three messages to get through three verses. These are important things in the Christian life, and most people don't live the Christian life even if they're Christians. And that's because there's a great battle going on between, we preached on this in the previous verses about whether you're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk after the flesh. And it's a choice that you make. It's a choice who you follow. You can follow your flesh, and if you do, you're going to get in a big, big mess in your life. And it doesn't matter whose flesh it is or what type of fleshly thing it is. It'll still destroy everything God's trying to do for you and in you. Or you can walk in the Spirit. And tonight we've already talked about verse 16 of chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. We spoke about walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit. And then the Word of God changes directions and gives you the other side. You know, the thing about God is He tells you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He gives you both pictures that we need to know. And here he begins to talk about the works of the flesh. So that's what we'll be preaching on, is the works of the flesh tonight. But we'll just get the first verse of that description from the Holy Ghost. But I tell you what, let's pick up verse 16 again and just read and then have a word of prayer. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Did you see what a contrast? When he gets to what the Spirit will do in your life, it's even shorter. But what the flesh will do in your life is longer. And he even had to say, "and such like." That means he could have gone on and on and on and on and on and give you a bigger list. But when he comes to the fruit of the Spirit, he doesn't say "such like." He says, "against such, there is no law." In other words, that stops the matter. Verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Well, he says in verse 19, that's my verse tonight, "Now the works of the flesh." What a contrast. You can have the works of the flesh, or verse 22, you can have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit's not something you can work for. It's something that God produces in you. But now the flesh is different. The flesh works overtime. The flesh works overtime for what it wants, and it's all bad. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now when he says manifest, he's talking about how easy it is to understand it, how clearly it is to be seen, how it's made known. The works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, these sins of the flesh are exposed on the external, and you can identify them. Now that's not where they start. All sin starts on the inside of us. The works of the flesh start on the inside of us. But they are manifest when they come on the outside externally of our lives. I'll show you what I mean. You see verse 19, we only have four. These four are all related. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now, hold your finger right there and go to Mark chapter 7. And it's important, he says, that they are manifest because these sins, just like any sin, is down on the inside of you before it is ever manifest in your life. And the thing about it is, if we'll stop and kill and destroy and run from and flee from the sin when it's on the inside of me, it'll never get on the outside of me. It'll never be manifest. Because, guys, here's the truth. Every one of us, doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been saved, you are susceptible to fall to everything we've read tonight in the list of the works of the flesh. The Bible says, wherefore him think thee standeth, take heed lest he fall. And you can't ever stand up and say, I will never do blank. You can say, by the grace of God, but you're capable. We all are capable. But now what some of us have learned is when those sins start creeping in our heart, we deal with them there before they are manifest. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus Christ mentions to us in verse number 20, he says, Mark 7:20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, look at it, adulteries, that's what we read, fornications, that's what we read, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, that's what we read, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So what happens is, before anybody, listen, this is so true, before anybody ever commits adultery, it was down in here. Before anybody fornicates, there was a problem in the heart. Before there was ever lasciviousness or uncleanness that was manifest in somebody's life, there was an issue on the inside of the heart that wasn't dealt with. And guys, this is why it is so important. Listen, especially, you know, one of the reasons you're in church is so when God deals with your heart, you will do something about it. Because if you don't, then the works of the flesh will be manifest if you don't get God's help for what's in your heart. And all of our hearts are messed up. All of our hearts are broken. All of our hearts are wicked. We all need help. So when God deals with my heart about something, I need to get it right. And look, and I'm glad in our church we have the freedom to come to the altar. The altar's not a show. The altar's not a show. But the altar is you making a decision to do something about what God's dealt with your heart. You can kneel in your pew. You can talk to God standing up. But the key is do something about what God's spoken to your heart about. Because this is a place where we not only come to hear a message, we come to get help from God. And so we want to get help from God before these things are manifest. Because after they're manifest, Then you're going to deal with the fallout. Then you're going to deal with the brokenness. Then you're going to deal with the judgment. And so I want you to understand when he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What is internal gets manifest on the outward, and we can deal with it on the inside before it ever gets to the outside. Go back to our text in Galatians 5. He says in verse 19 in our verse, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, this is not a comprehensive list because that's what he had to say in verse 21 and such like. You know, there's a lot of people, and I think maybe I've even preached about this one time. Some people say, well, where do you find that in the Bible? On such like, that covers everything. I think last time I preached, when I preached about tattoos, they said, where is that in the Bible? I said, right there on the such like. Anything that's like all these things he's reading about that has to do with the flesh, anything that is dominated by the flesh is sin. And really, sin is the opposite of not being led by the Spirit. So whatever the Spirit of God does not lead you to do is a false way, is an evil way, is a wrong way for your life. So he says the works of the flesh are manifest. Now he gives us this list so that we'll be able to identify when our heart is going astray from God. So we'll understand and see clearly, all right, I've got a problem in my life. Maybe, because a lot of people, they give excuses for themselves and say, well, I don't have a problem. He says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, there's four that we deal with tonight. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now all these are of a sensual and a sexual nature. I'm not going to use that word a lot tonight. I'll try to use the word immoral. But every one of these words that are in this verse have to deal with the plain and simple truth about how people defile their bodies in immoral activity. And what these works of the flesh are, they are an attack against what God created. You know what he created? He created marriage. And he created marriage so we would not have to commit fornication. And so we would not be unclean. And so we would not be filled with lasciviousness. And so we would not be given over to adultery. And I'd say this, if you're a married individual in this building, you have the utmost obligation not just to stay with your spouse, but to love your spouse and be close with your spouse in a loving relationship, because that is God's guard against the attack of the works of the flesh. And the devil's attacking marriage in so many ways. You know what the opposite of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness is? A wonderful, healthy, exciting marriage. That's the opposite of that. Matter of fact, when he drops down, he starts here with the works of the flesh being these sensual, immoral sins. And what is the first word on the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, is it not? Do you know what adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and uncleanness is not? That is not love. That is a lustful, carnal, has nothing to do with love. Oh, I left this person because I love. You're lying to yourself. Oh, I couldn't wait until marriage because I love them. You are a liar. You are just wanting to gratify your flesh. You're being run by your body. Love, God defines love. Love is of God. You know what was so wonderful? It was able on Friday night, and I can't help but I got to say something about my boy getting married. I mean, you know, it's a big event. It may not mean anything to you, it means something to me. Esther, I appreciate what you said to my wife in Sunday school. She said to my wife, she said, was that your boy that got married? That was your son? She said, yeah. She said, oh, she said, the bride, she was a princess. You know how wonderful that is? There was so much love in that room. There were tears coming down people's eyes. It was happy. No guilt. No shame. No what ifs. I wish I hadn't. And you know what? That's what God wants for every child of God. You say, you know, life is not a story, but don't tell my boy and Hannah that. They're writing their, amen, they're writing their storybook right now. And what they're writing in the pages of their life right now is God's opposite of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. You get the idea? Look, the devil tries to counterfeit everything God does. The attacks against marriage in our day are unprecedented. Unprecedented. And it's in a variety of ways. And because of the attacks, look, the attacks against marriage lead to adultery, fornication, the things we're talking about tonight. And so we need to cherish marriage and fight for those marriages. And we need to recognize the enemies of it. There's several enemies of it. These people that shack up. You know, all that is fornication. All that is a work of the flesh. I've tried to tell people so many times, and so many of them never listen. Look, If he'll mess around with you, if he'll be in the bed with you and not marry you, then he'll do that with somebody else on you. Don't you have a brain to see that? It's a fleshly thing. It's a body thing. And it's an attack against the marriage institution. We don't just have a divorce problem in America. We have a problem with people that don't even believe in marriage. It's wickedness. And it's an attack on everything our society and the foundation of our society is supposed to be built on, the marriage unit, to keep us from all these works of the flesh. Another attack on marriage is all this homosexual marriage. There's no such thing as a homosexual marriage. You can just as soon marry a dog, sir. You can just as soon marry a cat. You can't marry somebody. That's not a marriage. God gets to say what a marriage is because he's the one that defined it. He's the one that invented it. And all that other stuff is just the works of the flesh. You say, well, a judge signed off. And a judge signed off that you could kill babies. Don't make it right. Matter of fact, you know what else they've signed off on in our election? You can do heroin legally. Legally. Heroin. You can do cocaine legally. You can do, I didn't even know this till today. I started reading the law. I didn't want to get up and say something was wrong, you know. You can do LSD. Now, you remember when they put people in jail because they would buy and sell oxycodone pills, you know, and they didn't have a prescription. Remember how that was such a big, you know, now it's okay. It's okay out west. They passed it. It's okay. If you don't have an oxycodone prescription, you just swap it up. Just buy and sell it. It's all right. You'll be all right. And then I kept reading. Opium. They even put meth in there. Guys, listen. Our society is so screwed up. It's so messed up, it cannot be fixed. And all of that is the law trying to say, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. No, God says what's okay.
Amen.
And all the others, all that stuff, all it is the works of the flesh. It's not love. Doesn't have anything to do with love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, let's get on into it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Let's take the first two together, adultery, fornication. These are two different words. They're not the same word. They are related. But let me give you this. It is incorrect, listen, it is incorrect to say that adultery is immoral relations of a married person and fornication is immoral relations of an unmarried person. That's not the intent of those words. Adultery is a sin against the marriage bed. That is true. But adultery is much more than that. When Jesus defined adultery, by the way, I found it so interesting. When you look at these four words in our verse 19, adultery, you say, preacher, why are we preaching against this? Because it's in the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't like to hear about this. Hey, your kids are going to hear about it and they're going to see it in society. Matter of fact, they're a lot wiser than you think they are. And look, when I was a boy, they didn't talk about some of these things, and I'm going to be careful about what I say. I'm going to try. But when I was a boy, they didn't talk about these things. But you know what's happening right now? Our society is sexually sick. It's perverted to the extreme. And all it is the flesh. He says the works of the flesh are manifest, which he gives these four words. What I was going to say to you is, he says adultery, then he says fornication, and then he says uncleanness and lascivious. Now watch this, I don't think this is a coincidence. The word adultery is in your Bible 69 times. The word fornication is in your Bible 44 times. The word uncleanness is in your Bible 41 times. And the word lasciviousness is in your Bible 6 times. So you just go down the list of the number of occurrences. So why does he put adultery first? Well, the first reference to adultery is in Exodus 20. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was part of the Ten Commandments. But adultery, as I said, is not just a sin that a married person commits. Would you go to Matthew chapter 5 and take with your other hand 2 Peter chapter 2. Matthew chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 2. Get them together. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever," doesn't matter if you're married, it doesn't matter if you're unmarried. Did you see what Jesus said? Whosoever, right? "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed" what? "Adultery with her already in his heart." Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're married. Doesn't matter if you're unmarried. If you look with the eyes and lust upon someone else, Jesus said you've committed adultery with the person in your heart. Did Jesus say that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. This is a prophecy of the last days, and he says in verse number 14, "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and the heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." So the first thing I'd say about adultery, yes, it is a sin against the marriage relationship when somebody's married and they don't stay together and they go off and they join themselves to another individual. That, yes, that is adultery. But adultery is more than that. Adultery can be committed with your eyes. Adultery. One word, pornography. I'll say it very plainly. Pornography is adultery. It is the act of adultery. You know, it would be very good if people believed that. When a man watches porn, he is committing adultery against his wife. And I don't understand it, but women do that too. Guys, look, I wish I didn't have to preach stuff like this, but I really believe that pornography has destroyed the power of God in our churches today. It's adultery. The highest visited websites on the face of the earth, not even close, are pornography websites. They are screens of adultery constantly, constantly being committed in the hearts and minds of people. I've had pastors call me and tell me over and over how many people they've dealt with in their church that have addictions to pornography. It's the works of the flesh. I've got one pastor friend that said he will not marry one of his daughters without sitting down with the young man that wants the hand of his daughter and looking at him right in the eyes and said, "When's the last time you looked at pornography?" You know why? Because that'll destroy the love relationship that God wants two people to have. And someone that's given, look, if you're unmarried and you're involved in that, you don't even deserve to be married. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, you need to get to God and recognize that Jesus said, this is adultery, it is a work of the flesh, and you need to get right with God. And I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from that. By the way, this is also why you're in the book of Matthew. This is also why Jesus did not say, listen to me, Jesus did not say that adultery was a cause for divorce. If he'd have said adultery is the cause for divorce, we'd have a much higher divorce rate than we have. Because if it includes pornography. No, you cannot get divorced because of pornography. Jesus didn't say you could get divorced because of adultery. Just look at it, Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, right here in the same text where he talks about looking on the woman and you commit adultery, the same chapter, in verse 28 when he says that you commit adultery, he says in verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, not adultery. You know why I say that? Because Jesus is smart. He knows what he just said to you. If you'd have said adultery the first time you caught your husband looking at somebody else, you'd get rid of him. Or your wife. I don't get that. I don't understand that, but. Saving for the cause of fornication committeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So what he's saying is that there has to be an act of fornication for there to be a divorce. And he didn't say adultery. He didn't say adultery because adultery can be committed with the eyes. Not only that, adultery can also be committed spiritually. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he calls the brethren that are reading that. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He said the same to the nation of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. He talks about them committing adultery against him because they joined themselves unto other gods. In other words, you cheat on God when you love something else besides God, you see. Also, the verse that I just read in verse 32 shows you that fornication can be committed by married people. So I'm trying to get our terms defined. So when the Bible talks about the works of the flesh or adultery, he's not just talking about somebody that's married. He's talking about somebody, whosoever you are, if you look on someone with lust, you commit adultery. And when he talks about fornication, he's not just talking about somebody that's never been in a marriage sanctioned by the state. Because in verse 32, look at it again, Matthew 5:32, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. So there can be fornication in a marriage relationship. Fornication is not just teens that haven't gotten married that are out becoming immoral. That's not what fornication is. Fornication can be committed by married people, and let's just get the definition from God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6, the definition of fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So adultery is a sin of the flesh, it's immorality. But it can be committed with your eyes. It can be committed religiously. God says whoremongers and adulterers he will judge. Jesus called his generation a wicked and adulterous generation, a sinful and adulterous generation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So here is a married individual, a father's wife, that is guilty of the sin of fornication. So fornication can be committed by a married individual. So what is fornication? Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, watch it. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Fornication is something that is committed with the body. Look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth, look at it, is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In other words, you cannot commit fornication with your eyes. It's a bodily sin. It's when your body's joined to somebody else's body that is not your wife or not your husband. It's filthy, it's perverted, it's wrong. Destructive. It's fleshly. It'll make you miserable. It'll bring shame and judgment in your life. Matter of fact, the Bible demands in chapter 5 that the church separates from anybody that joins their body to another individual that's not their husband or their wife. He said in Ephesians 5:3 that, listen, Ephesians 5:3 that fornication should not be once named among you. Not one time. Looks like we came short of that one, huh? In Colossians 3, verse 5, he talks about those about mortifying your members upon the earth. He talks about fornication. Kill it. Kill it. Kill that desire of that body. He says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live in Romans chapter 8. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, preacher, I want to know what the will of God is. You know, I've had so many people ask me that question. They're looking for the will of God. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm trying to find the will of God. You know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians about the will of God? He said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. You know how we make things so difficult? God says, I tell you what, if you keep your hands off other people, you'll probably be a long way down the road doing the will of God. Isn't that true? If you'll keep your hands to yourself, amen, and keep your hands on your wife, come on, men, you can say amen right there. And ladies, keep your hands on your husband. That's right. That's good. That's proper. That's princess stuff. Amen. That's love. That's God's ordained plan. And God says, I tell you, you want to do my will? Just keep your hands on your husband or wife. So I don't have a wife. Well, don't have a husband. Well, God will help you find one. The church can even help you find one. Amen. Your pastor will help you find one. That's right. Is there anything wrong with that? Then you got people that get angry at God. I say, well, I've pastored some people like that way back in my ministry. They got angry at God. And so they said, well, I don't want any of that. And the works of the flesh will be manifest. Yeah. And there's exceptions to all those rules, and I'm not going to get into that, but the intent of our text tells us that this fornication is a sin against a sin with your body. It includes, you can write it down if you need the reference, fornication includes homosexuality. That's Jude verse 7. All homosexuality is fornication. It is one of the prevalent sins of the last days. He says in our text, he uses another word. Would you go back there? He says in Galatians chapter 5, he says adultery, fornication. You know what I'm glad I can say to these young people? God's wonderful. Guys, it's so much better in marriage and doing it God's way than doing it your way. You'll regret for the rest of your life if you don't do it God's way. God can forgive you, but you'll have regrets. Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Don't you want the best for our young people, guys? Well, man, spice your marriage up. Hallelujah. Takes two to tango. Both of you tango. Amen. That's God's plan. And what the devil tries to do, he tries to destroy that. You know why? Because he wants the works of the flesh manifest in your life. And I'm telling you, when a husband and wife are not close, temptation's coming. Temptation's coming. And I want to be the example of these young people. Hey, the world don't have anything to offer. Yeah. Ask my boy and Hannah when they get back how good it is. Amen. How wonderful it is. How happy it is. How joyful it is. Yeah. I believe in exalting that, brethren.
People are living in the ditch. God deliver us from the ditch. You can have a pure marriage. You can have a happy marriage. You can have real love.
The body can't give you that. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication. Then he uses the word uncleanness. We heard about a leper this morning that was unclean. And when we talk about that uncleanness in that leper, it's got that rotting, stinking, fleshly connotation of what that leprosy has done in his life. Uncleanness, I'm not really going to discuss it all. But I will say in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, God let the Old Testament people get divorced for uncleanness. Now, that's not what the New Testament, that's what the Old Testament said. Well, what is this uncleanness? I want to say this. Man is so filthy. He's filthy in his thoughts. He does filthy things with his body. And the Bible says in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 11, I'll read it to you. He talks about the land which you go to possess. It is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the land, lands which with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. That's the day we live in. The uncleanness is the opposite of that clean marriage bed that's undefiled and honorable and all. The uncleanness is mentioned a lot in the book of Leviticus. But I want you to hold your finger. Go to Romans chapter 1 right quick. We find that word in Romans 1, uncleanness. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 24. You like to be clean? You ever worked around or played with somebody on a ball court that was dirty? Isn't it a blessing? No, you don't. I don't want to be around dirty people. We were out there, you know, and everybody, you know, wearing gloves and serving the food and all that, especially today with the virus. What if there's a guy he had all this? What if he'd been milking cows and cleaning the hog pen, and he fixed your sandwich? That'd be all right. Without cleaning his hands. You ever looked under people's fingernails? I mean, people can get real dirty, can't they? I bet you don't want anybody handling your food that's got dirty hands. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would you have a dirty life? Why would you have a dirty mind? Why would you have a dirty heart? Why would you do dirty things with your body? That's what he's talking about, this uncleanness. And he mentions this, Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up to, what's the word? To uncleanness through, look at it, the lusts of their own hearts, look at it, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what we're talking about. 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Uncleanliness. That's what he's talking about in that text. And if I had time to go to Leviticus, but I've got time, but I'm not going to do it. Guys, listen, guys. We don't just live in a homosexual society and world. We live in a world of bestiality. And that's all I'm going to say. People are so filthy, depraved, and demented. And you watch what will be on the cusp next for this country going this direction. Because once you go the way of uncleanness, dirty. Boy, what a blessing it was. When Hannah came down, my boy walked down. He was awestruck and he said, "You're beautiful." Her face was clean. Every hair was, I mean, everything was spotless. Her dress was clean. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, my boy paid like $60 to go get shaved. He wanted the closest shave he ever had in his life. He wanted his face to be just perfect. And he came back with all these. No, I better not say that. I mean, he wanted everything to be perfect for his bride. Are you listening to me? Want to be clean. I bet nobody had to talk him into putting deodorant on. Right? No, they're getting all the smell good stuff. Isn't that right? I want to be clean. I want to make sure everything's right and perfect. That's love. And that's the way we ought to be with God. We ought to want to be clean. We ought to want to be clean with each other. We ought to want to be clean with God. Who wants to be dirty? My gracious, if she had walked down that aisle in that dress and it had mud all over it and her face was not washed and her hair hadn't been washed in 20 days, what would you say? I tell you what I said, what's wrong with you? Right? This is your wedding day. If my boy flew over there and said, I tell you what, Dad, you know, I'm going to take a break. I'm not going to bathe for a week. I said, son, you know, you're about to get whipped. You're old. What's wrong with you? You can see how ridiculous that is. Now listen, guys, why would I want to be unclean in my life before God, who has given himself for me? Are we not the bride of Christ? Should my heart not be clean? Should my mind not be clean? Should my body not be clean for him? It's his body. It's not my body. He bought and paid for it. And I want it to be clean for his glory. I don't want to take my body and join it to a harlot or join it to some other form of deviancy or uncleanness. Makes no sense. He says uncleanness is a work of the flesh. And if you're not careful, it'll consume you. The Bible says God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's another thing he said, let it not be once named among you. It wasn't just fornication, it was also uncleanness. God give us church, you know what I want? I want a clean church. I do. Amen. And not so I can go around the country and say, you know, our people don't do this and they're holy and righteous. Not that way. Because I want God Almighty to look down at a congregation of people that want to live in such a way that their hearts and their minds and their lives are clean before Him. I don't want to walk down the aisle and meet my Savior one day and what's wrong with you? And bodily, you can defile your whole self with uncleanness. The last word that he uses, and I'll be done tonight, in Galatians chapter 5. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Oh, preacher, that's such a big word, I'm going to just skip over that one. Better not. Lasciviousness is mentioned with uncleanness in 2 Corinthians 12:21, also in Ephesians 4:19. The Bible, when it talks about lasciviousness, he's talking about loose, lewd, lustful, irregular indulgence of animalistic desires. That's lasciviousness. I'll read again. Lasciviousness is loose, lewd, lustful, irregular indulgence of animalistic desires. It's just letting your body go hog wild just in whatever direction it wants to go. Like an animal. Yeah, we got a bunch of animals in our world today. And you know what it is? It's lasciviousness. The Bible says in the last days, in Jude, in Jude verse 4, he not only talks about the homosexuality, but he said in Jude verse 4 that they'll turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, they'll say, God will let you do whatever you want. Just go have at it. Just turn your instincts loose and animalistic desires and just go for it. God says that'll happen in the last days. God's grace never gives you the license to be lascivious. God's grace never gives you the permission to follow your flesh. That's why He made marriage. And guys, what I want to say to you tonight, just for that one little verse, the works of the flesh. How many lives, how many children, how many churches, how many nations have been destroyed by that first little list of the works of the flesh? And you don't have to have that. You can drop down to verse 22 and you can get love from the Spirit of God. You can either have love through the Spirit or you can have the mess of the flesh. You know what we need tonight? We need a commitment tonight to cleanliness. We need a commitment tonight to abstinence. You know how the world laughs at, you mean on the wedding day, that's the first kiss? Ooh, that was awkward. That was awkward to look. First kiss on your wedding day? Didn't you get practice? Yeah, I wonder how that makes you feel. How many people did he practice on before he got to you? We need a commitment to abstinence. I'm going to be clean. I'm not going to use my body. I'm not going to let anybody touch my body until I get married, till I find the man God wants me to have, the woman God wants me to have. I'm going to keep my body clean. And I'm committed to it. And God, I promise you, by the grace of God, that I'm going to do the will of the Spirit and not give in to the works of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. And we need some husbands and wives that say, I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to be faithful and pure. The vows are such a wonderful thing, and we always get to that part. And forsaking all others. Isn't that joy? How many of you wives here expect your husband to keep that forsaking all others? How many of you men, in the depth of your heart, expect your wife to keep that commitment, forsaking all others? Keep thee only unto you. That's love. That's love. That's what God did for me. He said, I love you. And I'm not going to throw you away. And I'm not going to be unfaithful to you. Isn't God faithful? He's so faithful. He's so true. He's so clean and pure and honest. And He'll never step out on you. He'll always be there. And the question is, will I be there for Him?